Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, where are you, the police?
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
ES Audio.
From the Evening Standard in London, I'm Mark Blunden, and this is The Leader. America's borders are open to British passengers, and to mark the moment, at 8:30 a.m. on Monday, London's Heathrow Airport witnessed an historic aviation display. Two passenger jets operated by British Airways and Virgin Atlantic took off in concert, setting off in unison on the 3,500-mile route to New York's JFK, 20 months after air routes were closed as the pandemic took hold.
This is a massive moment for the aviation sector as we look to build back better from the terrible blow that the coronavirus pandemic has laid to us. So it's about people fundamentally.
That's Aviation Minister Robert Courts speaking from Heathrow's Terminal 3.
It's about getting families back together. It's about making sure that when you haven't seen friends for years that you're able to go out and do that. And that's particularly important with Thanksgiving and with Christmas coming up.
And it's a joyous day for those travelling on business and to see loved ones.
So I work in software for an American company. So with travel opening up today, it's a crucial week for us. Yeah, it'd be great to see the boss as well.
My girlfriend lives over there. She's been sort of long distance for 2 years. I'm going over there to meet her family, that kind of stuff for the first time. So it's exciting, a bit nervous. But
Sean Tipton, spokesperson for ABSA, joins me now. Sean, what is the significance of today's flights?
Well, the USA is by far the most important long-haul destination, both from a leisure perspective and also from business travel for the industry. So, yeah, it's incredibly significant. And if you look at the airlines who service the transatlantic route, it is the most profitable route in the world, normally speaking. But obviously, during the pandemic, there were tiny numbers flying, if anybody at all. So that's, yeah, it's incredibly important. I think for the UK economy, it's very good news, not just for the travel industry, because if you look at the people on those flights, they're going to be a mixture, I would say, of people visiting friends and family who they haven't seen for getting on for 2 years, and also business travellers. And that's, I know that's something the business community have been saying, that they were very worried, particularly post-Brexit, about the fact that they weren't able to get together and have face-to-face meetings because of the pandemic, that it was damaging to their ability to transact business. So I think all those things together, yeah, it's very good news.
And just how confident do you think people will be travelling more long-haul journeys now?
We did some research recently, and 46% of people said they'd either booked a break over the winter or were going to be doing so. That's much higher than normal. You normally only see 25-30%, if that, of holidays taken over that period. So there is a massive appetite for getting away. And I think certainly if you're people who go for winter sports, it's almost like an addiction, really. People just, if you do it, you want to do it. And they haven't been able to get away for any kind of skiing or snowboarding holiday for getting on for 2 years now. So I was speaking to some of our members who service that market, and they said their bookings had gone through the roof. In fact, the problem they were having was actually finding places for people to stay because it was so busy. So there's that. And if you haven't been able to go overseas, and most people haven't, for getting on for 2 years, of course people want to get away. And so on the domestic side, you know, I think we all do. We all take holidays in the UK in any normal year as well. But what we saw over the summer there was such a massive increase in demand because people couldn't get away overseas. It put a lot of pressure on both infrastructure and also on pricing. Prices went through the roof, and quite simply, not everybody can afford to pay those kind of prices. And that's why overseas holidays actually a boon, really, because you spread the demand out, which means that prices don't go through the roof in quite such a way. And also there isn't such that massive strain on infrastructure because people have the choice of going overseas as well.
And are travellers still looking for the same kind of deal or for something different?
They certainly said they're prepared to pay more for their holidays and they're upgrading. Because if you know, obviously some people have been in an awful position where they've lost their jobs and hopefully they've been able to find new ones. But so they're in an awful position and probably taking a holiday isn't necessarily what they might obviously want to do. So they can't necessarily afford it. But a lot of other people, though, have been saving up large sums of money because they haven't been able to go to restaurants and bars, etc., for so long. So if you look at our experience, people are actually buying more expensive holidays. They're upgrading. I was having a chat with one of our members who's a high street travel agent in the north of England. And he said to me that he had people saying to him, this is it. They want a holiday of a lifetime because for two reasons, they hadn't been away for so long and B, they saved up a lot of money. So people are spending more.
And so how does all this square with the huge drop in plane-related pollution that we've seen since COVID took hold? And what's the future looking like?
Nobody's going to deny, and we certainly don't as an industry deny that aviation contributes to carbon emissions. It does. But I think it's an industry that takes this rather more seriously than other industries. I mean, we do invest in new aircraft, which are considerably more fuel efficient. And that's something we think the government should encourage aviation to do. I mean, at the moment, air passenger duty, the government gets, well, in a normal year anyway, which we'll be getting back to, over £3 billion a year. And they've always said, oh, it's a green tax, it's a green tax. Well, not one penny of that goes to benefit the environment. So why don't they use some of that money to help airlines develop more ecologically friendly fuels to move away from petrol. Also, there are some really interesting developments in terms of battery technology with much lighter batteries. So I know that many aircraft manufacturers are quite optimistic, certainly for short-haul flights, that they'll be able to have battery-powered flights in a not-too-distant future. I'm not talking 50 years' time. I'm talking about maybe 10. Also, Airbus announced not so long ago that they were investing heavily in developing planes that would be powered by hydrogen, which is incredibly interesting as well. So there are some technological steps going as we speak, and new aircraft are considerably more fuel efficient. If you look at the growth in aviation, it's not so much within the UK and Europe, it's mostly in other parts of the world, such as China. That's where there's projected really significant growth. Because I know looking at the figures for people taking overseas holidays, I used to say every year it's a record, but that started plateauing off. It wasn't a record anymore. I think because there's a limited number of people taking a limited number of holidays. So I think that probably was going to level off. And with more efficient fuel, as I said, better aircraft, cleaner aircraft, those emission levels would come down by their very nature. So, but if you're talking about, not just giving up flying, the economic impact, particularly on developing nations, has been absolutely horrendous because of the fact that foreign tourists have not been arriving. It's been really quite shocking.
That was Sean Tipton from ABTA. We asked aviation expert Dr. Lynette Dray, Principal Research Associate at University College London, about this new increase in toxic emissions at a time when governments are pledging to cut pollution at COP26.
Well, certainly the UK has some quite ambitious suggested policy now. They've suggested using, I think, 10% alternative aviation fuel across all UK flights by 2030, which, if you look at the number of biofuel plants you would have to build or adapt to do that, that's really, it's really pushing the technology. And certainly alternative aviation fuels, so biofuels, potentially power to liquids type fuels, are likely to be a very large part of the solution to aviation emissions. So there's policy work going on there. The UK is quite ambitious. The EU also has a similar initiative called Refuel EU, which looks at, again, increasing the amount of alternative fuels used in aviation. And then you have things like Airbus, for example, working on hydrogen aircraft designs for the longer term future. So there is a lot of work there. It's not something that people are ignoring. It's just something that is difficult and takes a long time.
There's more on this in the Evening Standard newspaper and at standard.co.uk. That's The Leader. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.